Rogers family for the beautiful song today. Well, I certainly need your prayers as I stand before you this morning and try to share with you the thoughts that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I would like to call your attention to a scripture reading found in the 20th chapter of Judges. If you care to read along with me, Judges chapter 20. And I would like to begin reading with verse 41 and read through the end of that chapter, which is verse 48. So Judges chapter 20, beginning with verse 41. It says, "And when the men of Israel turned again, the men of Benjamin were amazed, for they saw that evil was come upon them. Therefore they turned their backs before the men of Israel unto the way of the wilderness. But the battle overtook them, and them which came out of the cities they destroyed in the midst of them. Thus they enclosed the Benjamites round about and chased them and trode them down with ease over against Gibeah toward the sun rising. And there fell of Benjamin 18,000 men. All these were men of valor. And they turned and fled toward the wilderness unto the rock of Rimmon. And they gleaned of them in the highways 5,000 men and pursued after them unto Gittim, and pursued hard after them unto Gittim, and slew 2,000 men of them, so that all which fell that day of Benjamin were 25,000 men that drew the sword. All these were men of valor. But 600 men turned and fled to the wilderness unto the rock Rimmon, and abode in the rock Rimmon 4 months. And the men of Israel returned again upon the children of Benjamin and smote them with the edge of the sword, as well the men of every city as the beast and all that came to hand. Also they set on fire all the cities that they came to." And that is reading there from Judges chapter 20, verses 41 through the end of that 20th chapter. Now, I want to talk today about dying a tragic death. And you could say, "Well, Pastor, that just sounds really uplifting." But that's what I want to talk about today. That's the thought that the Lord has placed upon my heart: dying a tragic death. And I'm going to, by the help of God, in this message, tell you what I believe that is. Because I believe there is a way to die tragically. And many people in the world today will have their own definition of what that would be. But you know, the scriptures teach us a lot about death. The scriptures speak to us over and over about this. And, you know, there's really no way that we are left wanting in this. There's really no way that we're left void of understanding, because the Bible tells us the origin of it. It tells us, you know, how death came to be in the first place. It explains to us what actually happens when we die. The Bible defines death for us. It tells us exactly what it is. It's a separation. That's the word that best defines it: separation. And we have a tendency, I believe, to categorize death. If you look if you think about what I have read here before you from Judges chapter 20 concerning thousands that lost their lives in this battle, and then if you look in 1 Kings chapter 2, it says, "Now the days of David drew near that he should die." And if you go ahead and you read on through 1 Kings chapter 2, it will tell you about the death of one man. It will tell you in that chapter about the death of David and how that he called his son Solomon to him, to his side, and told him that, you know, David knew that he was getting ready to die. He said, "I go the way of all the earth," and he gave Solomon his final charge. And that chapter, as I said, tells us about the death of one person. We live in a world full of death. We live in a world where that's something that we hear about every day. And we live now, you know, David in the 116th Psalm, he spoke about how that he, with all of his trouble and sorrow and the sorrows of death compassing him and the pains of hell getting hold upon him, and how that he found trouble and sorrow, and how that he called upon the name of the Lord, and how the Lord delivered his soul, David made the statement. He said, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." Well, I don't believe that that's here. We are in a world where people die. And we might think, you know, oftentimes, I believe that, and I don't know why this is, we may think of situations like that we read about in the Scriptures concerning what I've shared with you here from Judges chapter 20. Those who are history buffs, you may think about things like what happened at Gettysburg, the great Civil War battle that took place there that lasted just a few short days, that there was an estimated loss of life that exceeded 50,000 people. And oftentimes it seems like that it takes tragedy, it takes what we think of in the natural sense, that is, as something very tragic. It seems like that sometimes it takes that to wake us up and make us realize that people are dying. We don't, oftentimes, we don't think about it, it seems like, until something like that takes place. And I want to share this in Ecclesiastes, in the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, in the first two verses. It says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die." And we know that we're told in the ninth chapter of Hebrews, in the 27th verse, that it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And so also in 2 Samuel chapter 14, in verse 14, it says, "For we must all needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground that cannot be gathered again, that cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any persons, yet he doth devise means whereby his banished shall not be expelled from him." So though we must all needs die, there's victory over that in the Lord, but only in him. And, you know, to give an example of what I'm talking about, and certainly what I have to say today is to not make light of anything, but, you know, we have seen the results this week. I'm sure that we have you know, most anyway, have watched news footage, and we have seen the results of the life that was lost, you know, as a result of the hurricane. And, you know, certainly we need to pray for the families that lost loved ones in that. But as I said, sometimes it seems like that something like that shakes us, and suddenly we seem to grasp the reality. You know, we think about, and you know, you may even hear requests made of that nature. We need to pray for the families of those who lost their loved ones in this great catastrophic weather, in this great natural event. But listen, every day, every single day across this world, there are families that lose loved ones. Every day. Death never stops. It happens every day. And sometimes people, I think, get a false sense of security. I think sometimes people escape something that, you know, claims a lot of lives, and something that seems to be very catastrophic like that, and people escape that, and they get perhaps a false sense of security. But I'll tell you what, I'm persuaded that happens when we see great natural events like this take place. There will be people who will, you know, the Lord will watch over them. They will escape that and not be consumed in it. And you know, many of them in just a short time will be gone from the world because of something else. You know, we're a dying race. The human race is a dying race, and so, you know, death comes to us in many different ways. And I want to say this to you that are here today and that are lost. And you know, we may think oftentimes, and we hear about situations like that, and we offer up, we make requests, and we offer up prayer, and we say, let's pray for those who are trying to ride out the storm. Let's pray for those who are in danger. Let's pray that they'll be safe. Let me tell you something. If you live in this world, you're in danger every day. This world is not safe. This world is a place where people are dying, and it's taking place every day. It may be by one means or another, but every day thousands of people will come to the point of death, and they'll leave this world and they'll go into eternity. And to be honest, it yields the same result no matter how that it takes place. And so you need to be very concerned about this today. If you've not made the proper preparations, if you've not sought the Lord for the salvation of your soul, you need to give great serious and sober thought to this today, because I'm telling you, death is on the heels of every one of us. Every one of us. And, you know, we may, like I said, at times we may deceive ourselves, and we may give ourselves a false sense of security, and we may think that you know, because that we're not involved in some kind of huge storm or a battle or something like that, that we're safe. But friends, you're not safe. You're not safe. You're in a very dangerous, very, very dangerous condition living in this world, knowing that you're lost, separated from God. The eternal welfare of your soul is at stake. It's at stake. And the wisest thing that anybody has ever done, and that's exactly what I believe about it, the wisest thing that anybody has ever done is to make sure that they are ready to die. To make certain that you are ready for death to come up on you, because it can come up on you at any moment. It comes up on many people when they least expect it. It comes, you know, death happens to people every day who feel like they're in a safe environment. They feel like they are in a safe situation. They give themselves a false sense of security and just don't believe that anything is going to happen to them, and it does. Every day, you can read about things where people left the world, many different circumstances. And I promise you that many of them, and perhaps most of them, had no thought or had no idea that it was going to come up on them that day. Listen, it's not only a possibility. It's a likelihood. It's a likelihood for every one of us that we will die and leave the world today. That's a likelihood. And so you need to be prepared for that. And to me, this is what I believe. To me, if you want to define a tragic way to die, if you want to define what is a tragic death, it's somebody who dies and leaves the world unprepared, unprepared to meet the Lord. Now, we can look at people dying in hurricanes. We can look at people like we did here that have died in great battles of war. We can look at situations. I mean, we were reading about 25,000 people that the Bible tells us died in this battle. We can look at situations like that. Or we can look at some, you know, oftentimes you hear something like, well, this person, you know, they died a good death because they died in their home. They died in their own bed. They died surrounded by their family and friends. They had a good death. Let me tell you something. If they were not ready to meet the Lord, then they did not have a good death. It was a tragic death. No matter what the surroundings were, no matter what the circumstances were, let me tell you something. Somebody that dies in a battle that was ready to meet the Lord, their death was not nearly as tragic as someone that died in their own bed without Him. That's the tragedy about death. Jesus made this statement. You can read about it in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. He was talking to a group of unbelieving Jews. And he made this very simple statement to them. He said, "If ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." Folks, that's tragic. That's tragic. You shall die in your sins. I want to share this from my own experience. I can tell you, I can take you back to a time in my life when the thought of death scared me. I mean, it put a fear in me that I can't even explain. Even the thought of dying was a horrible thought to me. I mean, it used to make me just tremble. Inside, it would just cause me such great fear in my heart to think about dying. There were times in my younger years, there were times that I tossed and turned in my bed at night thinking about that, because I knew in my heart that I was not ready to face that. I knew that I was lost. I knew that if I died in that condition, that things would not be well with my soul, that I would suffer the eternal damnation of hell forever and ever. And it troubled me. It troubled me something horrible. I've shared this before. The night that I got saved, just before the Lord saved me, I felt the most gripping fear that I had ever felt in my life. I mean, I just felt like that I was going to slip off into hell for all of eternity. I was so scared. I was just begging the Lord to save me that night. And I'm going to tell you something, friend, that's exactly what you need to do. If you're lost and separated from God, you don't need to act tough. You need to fear death. You need to fear it because it's going to separate you from the Lord and from His mercy and His love forever and ever. But, you know, when the Lord saved me, thank God I can honestly say this today. When the Lord saved me, He took that away. And I won't stand before you today, if anybody does, I don't think they're telling you the truth. I won't stand before you today and tell you I don't have any natural fears of anything. I believe that we all do. But I'm telling you today that since God changed my heart from that very moment that God gave me peace has never feared death again. I have never felt that fear again. I've never felt that condemnation again. I've never had a time when I thought about death that it scared me the way that it did. Before I was lost, or before I was saved, while I was still lost and in my sins, I've never feared it that way again since the Lord changed my heart. And I can say that honestly before this congregation of people today. Friends, listen, it's going to come. And it doesn't do anybody any good. And I really believe that people do this. I believe there are people in the world that just don't want to think about it. They don't want to even think about it. They don't even want to consider it. Anybody says anything about dying, they just want to push that away from them. They don't want that to be a part of their thoughts. They want to live in a fantasy world. But listen, folks, if you'll face reality today, if you'll face the truth today, then you will face this fact that you are going to die. You're going to die. We don't even need the Bible to tell us that, do we? We see it every day. You don't even have to read a verse of Scripture to know it because we see it happen all around us. I've been to too many funerals in my life. I'm looking for the time when I can go someplace where there's no death, where it's abolished. That's one of the things that we're told there in the 20th chapter of Revelation, that there's coming a day when God is going to wipe all tears from our eyes, and there'll be no more sorrow, and there'll be no more pain, and there'll be no more crying, and there'll be no more death, for the former things have passed away. Listen, I don't believe God created anything with death in it. Death was chosen. It was chosen. Man chose it by his voluntary disobedience to God's commandment. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Solomon said, there's no escape. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8. There's no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And in this war, there is no discharge. No escape. We've got to face it. You can die in the Lord, and everything will be well. You can die without the Lord, and what a tragedy. What an eternal tragedy to die and leave the world without knowing the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. And remember what Samuel wrote. Remember what we shared with you, found in the 14th chapter of 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, I believe, 14:14. He said, we must needs die, and where is water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again? And he said, God is no respecter of persons. No respecter of persons. I'd like for us to have a song. Today. Listen, if you don't know the Lord in a pardon of sin, you are not ready to die. You're not prepared to die. If you will seek Him, repent of your sins, put all your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll give you eternal life. Eternal life. And you'll never perish. And when you die, it won't be anything but leaving this world behind and going home. That's all death is to a child of God. Brother Mike Jackson, I'm persuaded of that. That's all it is to us. We'll just leave this world of trouble behind us and go and be with God. That's all there is to it. We'll just go home. We'll make, like Paul said, we'll make great gain out of it. Great gain. But that's not true if you're lost. If you've not been born again, you're going to suffer eternal damnation in the lower world. Let's stand and sing.
Number 321. 321.
Come and seek Him.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning.
How about it, lost
friend? Or your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. Why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by? And your life is spent in folly. Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning. For your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. Hear you not the earnest pleading of your friends that wish you well? And perhaps before tomorrow you'll be called to meet your God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning. For your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. If you spurn the invitation till the Spirit shall depart. Then you'll see your sad condition, unprepared to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God.
Talking to Brother Lowe, I don't know, maybe a year or so back, we were talking, and he told me, he said that he believed his death would be a great experience. I believe so. I believe it will be that for anybody that's ready. But how tragic, how horrible for those who aren't.